الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, before we commence the talk today, I make a humble appeal to all our brothers sitting in the back. Kindly come into the masjid area. We expect many brothers to come in. It will become easy for them when they come late. They won't have to jump over the others to come to the front. So humble appeal is made, unless the person requires some support or the chair. Especially our youngsters in the back, kindly come to the front. Today is a public holiday and the nikah that will be taking place. So inshallah, I have decided to speak something on the aspect of nikah. We have mentioned many talks on nikah, we have heard many bayans. But just some general advices to all of us who are married, to the couple that are getting married, and for those who will get married, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us the system, the institution of nikah. And this nikah is a halal, a most hygienic, a most honorable manner and way for the procreation of men. It is a halal way. It is absolutely hygienic. And there is honor in this. The nikah that takes place, it is the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is great emphasis laid in Shariat, encouraging all of us to get married. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to very commonly address during his nikah talks the youth and the parents of those youth, especially who were of marriageable age, those youngsters who were of marriageable age and who had the desire to get married, and the parents had the means to support them, but still they would procrastinate for very feeble reasons, not realizing the harm that they were causing to their children. Many of them then, because they were frustrated, then they made their own secret nikahs in schools, in parking lots, in colleges. And then when the girl fell pregnant, then they had to run to the Maulana and to solve the problem. Therefore, he would encourage us that if Allah Ta'ala has provided us the means, and means does not mean that we have to make very lavish functions and look and try and book a hall, and the hall is only available after 6 or 10 months for the next year, so we have to procrastinate and delay the nikah. This is totally against our deen. Three sahaba radiallahu wa ta'ala, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, and behind parda, they ask them, they inquire of the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home. So they gave a very general description. Rasulullah would come and he would see to the household chores and he would read some salat and tahajjud. Very briefly, they explained in a nutshell. But these sahaba, according to their understanding, they expected something more. The Nabi of Allah, they expected that when he comes inside his home, he must be laying out the musalla, and day-night ibadat, and tilawat of Quran, and dhikr. Nonetheless, they thought to themselves, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'asum, he is sinless, he committed no sins. So there isn't any need for him to exert himself in such a way that he has to make so much of ibadat. Even if he made little ibadat, he was guaranteed Jannat. He was sinless. And they thought to themselves and they discussed, they said, we require to make so much more ibadat. So one of them said, as for myself, فَأَنَا أَصُومُ النَّهَارِ وَلَا أُفْتِرِ, I will keep roza every single day of my life now. Besides the days when it's not permitted. Every day I'll keep nafil roza. The other said, وَأَنَا أُصَلِّ اللَّيْلَ فَلَا أَرْقُدْ, entire night I will read tahajjud salat, I won't sleep. The third one said, وَأَنَا أَعْتَذِرُ النِّسَاءَ, I will never get married. So that I could free myself for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the news of these three sahaba, whatever they discussed. He called them and he said, Antum qultum kada wa kada, you were the three who said that you are going to this and that and you'll never get married and keep roza the whole day and read tahajjud the whole night. They said, yes. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them, and this is the balance in Islam, and this is the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I keep nafil some days, and there are days where I don't fast. We're not talking about Ramadan, we're talking about nafil for nawafil. For example, if I fast on a Monday, then Tuesday I'm not fasting. Or I'll keep on Monday, Thursday. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that he does not fast every single day of his life. And he said, I read tahajjud salat, qiyamul layl, and I also rest. It's not that the entire night I'm on the musalla. There may have been those occasions where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerted himself to that extent, but generally, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept, he woke up for tahajjud, he rested. And he said, wa ana atazawwaju nisa, I get married to women. Then he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. In other words, this is my way of life. And this is the balanced way of life. And this is the most perfect way of life. And this is the most easiest way of life. And this is the most complete way of life. This is my sunnah. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, after explaining these three things, then فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, he is not of me. He does not belong to me. He is not befitting to be part of my ummah because he has moved away from my way of life. Therefore we understand that this nikah is a great ibadat. It is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is no joke. Many youngsters today have taken nikah to be a joke. They don't understand the serious implications of nikah, the responsibilities that are attached to nikah. It's not like changing your clothes that you can change your wife. You're buying a new car, you sell your car and you buy another car. No. And therefore we are witnessing today, because we have not taken this institution of nikah so seriously, and we have not understood that this is an injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do not abide by the laws that govern us through nikah, we find there's an increased rate in divorce. Hardly the person has got married, and the next thing we hear, they are divorced. May Allah protect us, protect our children. Protect the progeny. May Allah make barakat in this nikah. May Allah protect this nikah from all type of shurur and fitan. But these are serious issues that we need to conscientize ourselves with. And therefore in the nikah khutbah, which most of us I think know by heart, because we're hearing all the time, and nikah is one bayan and one occasion, even the elderly, mashallah, and even the youngsters, everybody listens very carefully, especially when the bridegroom will say, nakahtuha. And everybody wants to peep and see who's this person. And especially when he mentioned the mahr, what was the mahr? So mashallah, everybody's attention is focused to this topic and this occasion. There are three verses mentioned in the nikah khutbah. All three pertain to taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. We have taken taqwa only for the month of Ramadan. Taqwa is with us every single day of our life. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, nikah has to be treated seriously. Because this nikah that takes place in the masjid, this is a contract. It is an aqd. It's a pact. It's an agreement that the husband and wife are making. When the person accepts this girl as his wife, the bride as his wife, what is he saying actually? That he is going to look after her, how he has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of her. Nikah is a very serious yet simple affair. And this is where most of us falter. We make it extremely lavish and we spend thousands of rands. We incur huge debts upon ourselves. And in essence, we deprive our young children of the barakat of the nikah. Because the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem has mentioned, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْثَرُهُ مَعُونَ. That nikah which has the least expenses has the greatest amount of barakah in it. Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, his sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was making tawaf. And while he's making tawaf, he spotted Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he was interested in getting married to the daughter of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, her name was Sauda. In tawaf, he takes up the courage and he asks Abdullah bin Umar for the hand of his daughter Sauda in nikah to him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala remained silent. He did not speak. So Urwa thought, if he's interested, he'll come back to me. Perhaps he's not interested. So he thought to himself and he made up his mind, I'm not going to ask him anymore. Perhaps I should not have even asked him because he's not interested in me being his son-in-law. After tawaf, it so happened that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala went home or wherever they had to meet, he went first. Urwa came later on. Then Abdullah bin Umar makes salam to him. He says, when did you arrive? He says, I just came now. He said, did you ask me for Sauda whilst we were making tawaf? He says, yes. Now look at the reply Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu gives. He says, at the time of tawaf, وَنَحْنُ نَتَخَايَرُ اللَّهِ بَيْنَ أَعْيُنِنَا whilst we were deeply engrossed in thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were making the tawaf of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts were attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could you not have asked me later on? Why did you interrupt me at that time? Nonetheless, he says, are you still interested in my daughter? He says, definitely. So there and then, he calls his two sons to be witnesses, and he performs the nikah of Urwa radiallahu ta'ala to his daughter Sauda. So simple. Like this we find amongst the Sahaba many instances. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala gets married and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not even know. Until after the nikah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, he says, yes, I had performed my nikah already. Imagine, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even know that Jabir, and Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was a close Sahabi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no takalluf in nikah. It was a simple affair. There is an incident of the son-in-law of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Who's Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu? The greatest muhaddith in this world. His son-in-law is Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi. Who is Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi? Such a great tabi'i that it is mentioned, he himself says, مَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ. The muazzin did not give adhan for a period of 30 sana, for 30 years, illa wa ana fil masjid, except that I was already in the masjid. Now this is a lesson for myself and all of us. He says that for 30 years I was in the masjid before the muazzin could call out the adhan for salat. How early he would come. 30 years. And he says for 40 years I did not miss a single salat with jamaat. And he says for 20 years I did not see the back of any musalli whilst I was in the saf for salat, meaning I was in the first saf for 20 years. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi, the son-in-law of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. He has students who he teaches hadith, Quran hadith. And amongst his students was a person by the name of Kathir bin Abi Wada'a rahmatullahi alayh. For some time, Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayh did not see Kathir bin Abi Wada'a in his gathering. He inquires from the people, they call him, Kathir, where were you all these days? He says, oh my beloved Ustad, my wife passed on, and I was sad, and I had to see to the janazah, etc. And therefore, I did not have the courage to come to your gathering. So he says, okay. He makes dua for him. As they are about to leave, he says, how about you now getting married? You lost your wife. What about getting married? Kathir bin Abi Wada'a rahmatullah says, I'm a very poor person. Who will get me married to his daughter? I don't even possess 3 or 4 dirhams. He says, I will do so. And the nikah was performed there. The father performs his daughter's nikah to his student Kathir bin Abi Wada'a rahmatullah alayhi. And he's elated. Nikah has taken place. There were other witnesses there. And he doesn't even know what to do. He goes home. He knows he's married. And now he begins to contemplate, I need to support my wife. So I need to borrow some money. And how will I get some means now to support her? He was fasting that day. He performed Maghrib Salat. He goes home to make iftar. And they say his iftar was some olive oil with some coarse dry bread. He just opens his roza. He makes iftar. And suddenly somebody knocks on the door. Who is it? He says, Sa'id. At that moment, he did not realize, asking, which Sa'id? And then he explains, I didn't think it was Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi, my new father-in-law, because Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi would only come out of his house and he would go into the masjid. He did not go anywhere else. It's impossible for Sa'id to come to my house. Nevertheless, when I go, I see it is Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, what is it? He said, I've brought my daughter, your wife. I thought to myself that you are her lawful husband. And why should you remain alone tonight when you have a halal wife? Then he takes her, he puts her into the house, and the father-in-law closes the door. Kathir bin Abi Wada'a rahmatullahi. Immediately he goes to his food and he pushes it away from the lamp that was there, lest her eyes falls on that little very trivial food that she has, and she'll feel, what a poor man I have married. He goes up and he calls out to his neighbors, and he calls out to his mother, and he says, listen, this is what happened. My nikah has been taken place. You see, to who? He says, the daughter of Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Really? Such a great person's daughter you have married. He has got you married. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi's daughter, she received a proposal from Malik bin Abdul Marwan bin Abdul Malik. Marwan bin Abdul Malik wanted his son to get married to the same girl. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullah refused. And who was Marwan? He was the governor of Medina at the time. And because he did not get Marwan's son get married to his daughter, Marwan used to look for excuses to lash at him. And he would punish him. The neighbors come, the mother comes, and immediately she tells the son, listen here, let me just decorate your wife for you. Beautify her. And after she's beautified, Then she meets Kathir bin Abi Wada'a rahmatullahi alayhi, and he says, I take a qasam in Allah. She was absolutely beautiful. Leave beauty. He says she was ahfadun nas li kitabillah. She was a hafiza of the Quran. A'lamun nas bil kitabi wa sunnah. She was an alima. She knew Quran and hadith. Can you imagine from that bond, such pious people, what type of progeny they would have had? Therefore, when we look for suitable partners, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu has given us some guidelines. That don't just look for wealth and lineage and beauty, but if a person should look for that wife, that girl, who has got deen in her. And therefore, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, the best of goods a person can possess, the best of possessions of this world, is al-mar'atu salihah, a pious woman. My respected brothers and elders, we have this nikah that will take place, and as I said, in this nikah khutbah, we have the ayahs of taqwa that is mentioned. Therefore, the advice that we give ourselves, and also to the bridegroom, that keep Allah in your life. Keep Allah in your life. Make sure that your salat is never discarded. How often it happens that the girl was a hafidah, she was very pious, she gets married, and because the boy is very lazy, then she used to read tahajjud before, now her tahajjud is gone also. Leave tahajjud gone, her even her other namazes are gone. Or sometimes it's the other way around. The boy was a good person, now he leaves out his salat, his tilawat of the Quran, his door of the Quran. These are important things. It's not just gratification of our sexual lust. No, this is a bond which in which we are fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verse that I mentioned, wa min ayatihi, from the great signs of the oneness of Allah, proving to us the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, Allah says, I have created for you, Allah has created for you, spouses for you to get married. Litaskunu ilayha, the husband gains sukoon from his wife. He gains tranquility, serenity, love, muhabbat, peace. Now to ensure that a person enjoys his love and muhabbat, the husband has to have a good akhlaq, a good character. He has to display a good character. Rasulullah has mentioned, the person who has the most perfect and complete iman is the one who is best in character. And the best of you is that person who is best to his wife. One who is best to his wife, he is regarded to be the best person amongst you. Akhlaq. The husband should smile, or the wife also, both should smile at one another. They should exchange gifts. Very easily we give gifts to our staff and secretaries, and we smile at them when we enter the office in the morning, and we speak with very sweet tones. But the wife, ponder and think, when last did you make a salam, and when did you smile, and when did you give her a gift? Most people, Ashura day, they ask a masla about giving gifts to family people, and then feeding on the family. Rasulullah showed so much of muhabbat for his wives. He actually ran races with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the absence of any other person. There were no spectators. The first time he ran a race with her, she beat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on in life, they both ran a race again, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam beat Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Love and muhabbat. I read in a narration, you come in Muslim Sharif, that once a neighbor of Rasulullah ﷺ, who was well known for his, some type of gravy that he would make, some type of curry, and everybody would desire that this person makes the curry, invites them. He invites Rasulullah ﷺ. He comes, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, come over to my house. Brothers, there's a lot of place downstairs as well. So those who don't have place inside, try and make some place for the brothers outside. We just move a bit forward, inshallah, and make some place for those standing outside, and even downstairs there's some space available, inshallah. So this person invited Rasulullah sallam. I've got this curry, this gravy. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Sayyidina Aisha, and she was in hijab, in barda. He asks this person, وَلِهَذِهِ, what about an invite for her? That person, for whatever reason, perhaps he didn't have enough, or he didn't have the arrangement at home, he said, لا, only for you. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept that particular invitation. He comes back after some time, Ya Rasulullah, I've got this gravy for you. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired that gravy. The ulama write that he wanted to eat that. He was hungry and he liked that type of dish. But he was thoughtful of his wife. You and I, we get a da'wat, husbands are gone. They're enjoying a nice lavish meal. Poor wife, who worries about her, whether she ate or she didn't eat? He said, what about her? He says, no. A third time he comes. Same question Nabi Karim asked. وَلِهَذِهِ, and for her? He says, yes. And then the ulama explained how happily and with so much of love and muhabbat, both husband and wife, Nabi Karim and Sayyidina Aisha, they go together to the neighbor's house to eat this dish that was prepared. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, struggling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she falls off a camel. She gets a bit bruised. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to her. Sahaba all there. Safiya, she begins to cry. It happens like that. Sometimes a small slip, you begin to cry, you cannot contain yourself. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, فَمَسَحَ دُمُعَهَا, he began to wipe off her tears. He placed his foot down. He made Safiya climb onto his lap and then he put her onto the camel's back. On one occasion, her camel was laden with a lot of goods. So, this camel was very, very slow and the others were getting a bit agitated. And Safiya tried, but Nabi Kareem, then he asked Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, his other wife, that, why don't you give Safiya, you've got a spare camel, a strong camel, lend her your camel. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala blurted out at that time, must I give this Yahudi woman? Safiya was a Yahudi, she was a Jew, before she embraced Islam. Of course, she was a mu'mina now. She's from Azwaj al-Mutahharat, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. When Nabi Kareem heard these words from Zainab, فَخَضِبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ, he became angry. He was displeased. فَهَجَرَهَا, he did not speak to her for approximately 1 or 2 months, teaching her that what you said was not good at all. You hurt the feelings of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. So he had muhabbat for his wives. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it is tahajjud time, we're not talking about fajr time, tahajjud time, if the husband wakes up first for tahajjud and the wife is asleep, let's take some water and sprinkle gently on her face and very kindly wake her up also for salat. She wakes up first, she must do the same. Now this is love and muhabbat, smiling, working together towards gaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. In one hadith in Kanzul Umal is mentioned, when a man looks at his wife, إِذَا نَظَرَ الرَّجُلُ إِلَىٰ إِمْرَأَتِهِ, he looks at his wife, وَنَظَرَتْ إِلَيْهِ, and she looks at him with love and muhabbat. Both look at one another with love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at them with a merciful glance. Allah looks at them with a merciful glance. So my respected brothers and elders, we do not want to delay this nikah. So many people have got other plans also. People are going for Umrah and going to on other journeys. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the entire Ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless our nikahs. We will stop here. But the important thing is that let us build in ourselves the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the taqwa when we are married and display a good akhlaq and appreciate our wives. Praise them. Even if it's not so tasty, whatever she's cooked. Even if it's not so tasty. You can say, definitely, they are listening to me. I might get in trouble. You can say, I'm telling you, nobody in the world can cook like this. You can take the other meaning. Nobody can cook so bad like this. But you can say, nobody in the world will cook like this. We don't praise them. We love praises. The wife praises you. Oh, you feel you're the king. People in society praise you. How well you, how good you feel. Believe me, your own mother, if you praise her, she gets happy. That's the quality of woman. She likes to be praised. So praise your wife. Don't criticize her. We talk about hen pecking. Actually, it's a woman keep on nagging the man. That's why they say it's hen pecking. But we also do the same. It's just nagging. We don't appreciate. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is with his wife. And one sahabi comes to complain about his wife. But when he comes to the door, he can see Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's wife. She is lashing out at him. And she's complaining. And Sayyidina Umar is quiet. So he's about to take a U-turn and come back home. And Sayyidina Umar spots him. My brother, what is it? He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you got the same problem and what I'm going to explain to you. Umar said, listen, my brother. I just ponder over the kindness to us. This wife of mine, she washes my clothes. She prepares my food. She looks after my children. Therefore, I should tolerate and I should not become annoyed. And this is the lesson all of us need to implement in our lives. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين